Hello, Illuminated Souls. I'm Brie Andreoni.
And I'm Tina Damore.
Welcome to Shamans After Dark. Today, we'll be exploring the dark night of the soul.
Yeah, let's talk about this. I think there are a few listeners out there who probably have experienced the dark night of the soul in some shape or form in their lives. So we want to carve out some time here on this platform to talk about and give it acknowledgement, really, because it can be really an isolating and challenging experience to move through. The definition of dark night of the soul is often used informally to describe an extremely difficult and painful period in one's life, sort of like the death of a loved one, breakup of a marriage, the diagnosis of a life-threatening illness. Brie and I think that it's just a little bit more than that.
It can go a little deeper. It can also be triggered by other things that we experience in our life.
Right.
So, you know, by our definition, you may experience some extreme depression, anxiety, even suicidal ideations, feeling lost and directionless, like questioning, who am I? Why am I here? Wondering if you can do this. It's when we're going through a really difficult time in our lives, mental, emotional crisis, feeling like you don't know who's looking back at you in the mirror. And sometimes just like chronic illness can also be a part of this. And at the same time, some cultures can see a dark night of the soul as a form of shamanic initiation, but one does not need to be on a shamanic path to experience a dark night of the soul.
No. You know, in my opinion, our soul is often calling to a more authentic way of being. Whether someone's on a shamanic or spiritual path or not, it's sort of like an annihilation of everything that you believed and thought you were.
Exactly. You know, sometimes a part of how we're showing up in the world needs to metaphorically die away as part of our soul's growth process.
Yeah.
It's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good, you know, but it can be part of what we experience when going through a dark night of the soul.
Yeah.
One very simplistic definition, which I feel doesn't quite hold space for how challenging and hard going through a dark night of the soul can be. An old egoic sense of self dies, and from the ashes, a more integrated self is reborn.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I mean, dark night of the soul is a stage in personal development when a person undergoes really difficult and significant transition that can be sort of like this opening up to a deeper perception of their life and their place in it. It's sort of like they're seeing the truth of things, and it's, you know, we don't always want to see the truth.
Yeah, because it asks us to change how we show up in the world, right? So, you know, when we're experiencing a dark night of the soul, it's such an individual journey.
Yeah.
It's a little different for everybody. And it's really the direction one chooses to take from that place of darkness
mm-hmm.
and can depend upon the soul's longing to not be in conflict any longer with itself. So many people through the centuries have experienced some sort of spiritual death. And this is an opportunity to realign with who we think we are based on constructs that do not align with our truth into a recalibration of something more, right? Like
right.
We can let go of the things and the stories and the things we've been told and this box we've kind of been put in that doesn't feel authentic to us. It doesn't resonate for us anymore. And we're kind of having a rebirthing process. And that's really hard. It's hard to let go sometimes.
I don't think there's a language for it sometimes.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
Absolutely.
I think dark night of soul is like designed to press all of your buttons. And I know when I went through it with my illness, you know, I did not have a definition for who I was anymore. I was like sort of stripped of being a teacher in a classroom, being a woman, being even Tina. It was just sort of, well, who was I? Who was I? You know, and so that was like bare bones, finding out who I was without those labels. I mean, so dark night of soul can be different for everyone, but that's sort of what my hot button was at the time.
You know, when I was a teenager, I went through very, very intense dark night of the soul. For a long time, I was really, really lost and really, really struggled. And it was not an easy place to be. I wouldn't want to go back and do it again. But I grew a lot from it, and it really helped me tap into who am I. And I think, you know, I'm still experiencing dark nights of the soul. It's not something
sure,
that's just one and done. You know, I think as we continue to grow, we kind of have them pop up, can feel a little bit like different initiation points in our life when we come to different realizations that as we grow as an individual, different stages of our life, we kind of sometimes outgrow things that don't serve us anymore. And it can be really, really hard to come into alignment with our own truths.
Even for people that aren't spiritual, on a spiritual path, I mean, life is this never-ending series of initiations, in my opinion. There might be aspects of our lives that aren't for the highest, whether it's for like, whether it's a job, a relationship, dysfunctional family, fair-weathered friends, or, you know, ways in which we live that spirit sees isn't really beneficial for the path in which a person has been chosen to walk, even if they're not on a spiritual path.
Absolutely. Like,
we all have helping spirits, whether you're practicing, whether you're a practitioner or not, but we are always in a cycle of death and rebirth. I also feel that Dark Night of the Soul, for somebody that's a practitioner, is one's helping spirits, hollowing you out to become a better conduit, along with that inner subconscious calling our soul is doing to become something more. It's like that extra layer of the helping spirits going, we're hollowing you out too.
Got to become that hollow bone, right? So you can really be of service.
Right. Yeah. So there's this calling out for your soul, which I think happens for everybody in the Dark Night of the Soul, even though it doesn't feel like it's very subconscious. But then there's also the extra, we are hollering you out because we need to use you for something more. But, you know, whatever the case might be, Dark Night of the Soul can be completely disorienting, anxiety provoking, filled with lots of anguish. And it's basically bringing up all of our stuff. But it can be an opportunity for spiritual awakening to occur. Even if someone isn't necessarily on a particular spiritual path, we might not be aware what's on the other end of the tunnel, but there's always the end of the tunnel. We just have to keep our eye on the prize.
Yeah. And just knowing that this is just it's a part that we're going through. It isn't a forever, right? It is a now. It's something we're experiencing. We're here and we're trying to navigate it. And it's challenging. It's uncomfortable. And sometimes it feels like you aren't going to navigate through it. You just keep going, right?
Yeah. I think that's how it's designed. It's like, no, you're going to feel like this forever. And your brain wants to believe that. And it's just not the case. It can't. Everything's temporary.
And when we're experiencing a dark night of the soul, you might feel stuck. There's always life on the other side of that. You know, there's that personal struggle is kind of what we're going through, but it's up to you to have the courage to kind of move through that dark time and also be willing to seek help when you need it. And this is really huge.
Right.
Really, a lot of times when going through dark night of the soul, we have a tendency to isolate ourselves and really retreat and withdraw. But it is just so important to know when you hit a point of like, I need support, I need help.
That's courageous to know that.
You know, and that takes a lot of strength to say, I need help and to seek it. So, you know, we really encourage you when you're experiencing a dark night of the soul to reach out to get help, to say, I need help, whether that is with finding a mental health professional that you resonate with, having good support through friends and family that you trust that can kind of hold space for you. And that can be challenging because sometimes people feel like they need to fix it or can't just sit with you in the dark. And that's that. Sometimes you just need that companionship, though, and not someone telling you it's going to be okay.
Right? To be understood without somebody wanting to fix it, that it's wrong. Yep.
I think sometimes there is a stigma that when you like say, I'm working with a therapist or I'm reaching out for the health around that, but that is a form of self-care and it's really important.
Absolutely.
And the only stigma is what we give to it. Like, I think it's a mark of strength to say, I recognize that I need assistance right now and I need someone to help me navigate this and give me the tools to do so in a way that's healthy and will help me be successful through this. You know, Tina and I are not mental health professionals, so it's just important to have multiple sorts that kind of holistically treat the source and the root of that issue.
Right.
Sometimes coming at it from multiple ways, whether that's working with a therapist and also working with an energy healer or, you know, finding out the things that help, you know, having good friends and family.
Yeah, like somatic therapy, a lot of the stuff like is sitting in our body.
Yeah. And making time for even self-care, like saying, I'm going to get out and go for that walk, you know, like still honoring your body and where you're at, but having supports in place to help you do so is just so important.
Yeah. And I feel like during that time, I mean, it seems like a burden, but self-care is so important. Like, it's like, okay, what do I need right now? Because I've got to fulfill that need because I can't sit. Maybe the whole point of a dark night of the soul is to find ways to love yourself.
Yeah, especially when you might be feeling really unlovable, because sometimes that's a big part of a dark night of souls. We don't feel worthy of love or acceptance, or we feel like we're not enough in some way. Like all of our shadowy bits really kind of come up in a dark night of the soul and rear their heads, and it kind of like seems to happen all at once. Or if you're dealing with chronic illness, you might be suffering with chronic pain, and it's just hard to do the basic things. And that can be so overwhelming when it feels hard to just do the simple things in your day. So finding ways to meet yourself where you're at with compassion.
Yeah.
And also find ways to keep moving forward and help you navigate through in whatever way that might look like for you. It's not an easy place to be.
It's not. And at the same time, I think there's so much stigma about this, like we said. So nobody wants to come forward and say, hey, I actually am just coming out of one, or I'm actually experiencing it now, because, you know, there's this thought of no one will really quite get it. It's so not true. I wish we could all sort of come out of the woodwork and say, hey, yeah, I've been there, because those people can really lend a lot of support to people that are going through it right now, including mental health professionals, who hopefully, I feel like the better health mental health professionals have gone through some really initiatory experiences so that they are able to hold space for some intense things for their clients.
Absolutely. It's definitely interesting because, again, like we said, this is a really unique journey for everybody. It kind of shows mm-hmm. up and manifests a little differently for everybody. And, you know, sometimes even that self-care bit is saying, I just need to sit in the dark for a minute and have space away. Like, I know sometimes yep. my nervous system can get like really overstimulated, and sometimes yeah. I just need a little time in the quiet to let my body be like, oh, okay, we're coming back down and we're coming back into.
We're safe.
Yeah. In my own embodied state. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, there's just, we're all different and unique, and how the dark night of the soul shows up for us is going to be a little different and unique. But being able to share your story with someone, if you've experienced it, and holding space, and also just being able to say to someone who's experiencing it, I see you, I hear you, and I'm just going to sit here with you as you hold space. And I'm not going to try and fix you,
right?
Because, you know, we all have to have our own experience in our way of moving through something, so we learn from it. If someone else comes in and fixes it for us and makes it all...
There's no lesson. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no lesson, but also, is it really fixed? Because we haven't done whatever work needs to be done to heal what's asking to be healed.
And I think the dark night of soul is really about finding your own way through it and finding your own power. And if someone just takes that away with fixing it, you're not going to find your own power.
Yeah. And I also just feel like it isn't really fixed. There's no magic wand that we wave to whether in any form of healing. There's no just magic cure-all for us needing to go through our own process with whatever we're dealing with.
Right. And what would work for one person wouldn't work for another.
Yeah. Well, it's also like, you know, when we get sold, they're like, hey, here, take this magic pill and you lose all this weight and you're going to be perfect, right? Like, without us needing to do any work about moderating, like, I have to show up and do exercise every day, or watch what would be mindful of what we choose to put into our bodies.
And, yeah.
You know, we have to take some ownership in our own process.
I agree.
So, Tina, I know we both had some interesting journeys to our helping spirits to kind of see what they had to say and share with us around a dark night of the soul.
Yeah. So my helping spirits said, firstly, humans historically feared the dark, for without light, we cannot see what we are facing. It is the fear that makes the lens of sight darker in perception. From our eyes and perceptions, we see dark night of the soul as a place of great transformation. While we hold compassion for the intense suffering it may cause in your world, it's much like a caterpillar who dies and becomes liquid, only to reform itself through metamorphosis. Dark night of the soul is a chrysalis in which one dies and gives birth to themselves. This rite of passage is not for the faint of heart. From a human perspective, we as spirits witness the grief, anguish, self-doubt, and anger that accompanies such times. However, this process is about letting go of the old self to begin again as something new and something previously undefined. To your ancestors in shamanic cultures, this was recognized as a sacred time, so the one undergoing intense change was supported more than modern humans tend to be.
That's beautiful, Tina. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I'd love to hear what your helping spirits have shared.
My helping spirits had to share. Society often wants you to fit into a box so that you fit into the collective narrative in a way that makes others comfortable. But the truth is, this is rarely the case. Everyone is here to have an embodied life experience, and every soul is unique. Trying to conform to societal norms that are against your soul's purpose or compromising to your soul's values to be seen as normal can all lead to one experiencing a dark night of the soul. Experiencing a dark night of the soul may be part of why one is here and embodied at this time. It can lead to a deep healing on a soul level, or they may be here to experience an awakening or major shift in their level of conscious awareness. Initiations such as a dark night of the soul challenge an individual to see if they are ready to move into another state of growth and awareness. Every soul's journey is different. When facing a dark night of the soul, know that you are not alone. Your guides are with you, holding space, supporting you, and bearing sacred witness to your soul's journey. That is the beauty of an embodied life. It is your journey and yours alone.
Beautiful. So this week's website journey prompt is, please show me a time in my life that might be considered dark night of the soul. Please show me the parts of myself that I had to let go of and how this process transformed me. And if you're currently going through a dark night of the soul, then instead ask your helping spirits, please show me the parts of myself that I need to let go of and help me do this. Although it's a very challenging place to be in, both Bree and I want anyone out there who is experiencing something like this to know that you are not alone.
Yeah, it's really important. We want you to know that, you know, you're not the only person. If you can feel so isolating, but others have gone through it, are they going through it and really reaching out and finding ways to support yourself, and whether that's working with a mental health care professional or an energy healer or just having good friends and family talking, letting people know where you're at and can just be really huge.
It makes a huge difference. And also the National Alliance on Mental Health, NAMI helpline, can be reached Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 1-800-950-6264. Or you can text helpline to 62640.
You can also find all these contact details for the National Alliance on Mental Health and Illness on our website under our resources page for this episode. You can find us at shamansafterdark.com. So please drop us a line. You can also find Tina at threecrowshealing.com with the numeral 3. And you can find me at treeheartheealing.com. We also have links to our personal pages on the Shamans After Dark website.
Until next time, everyone, keep on shining your light.